verses 13 through 21. You have to be willing to surrender if you want a journey into freedom. If you want a journey into freedom, you have to be willing to surrender everything, as that song says, Lord, everything. In these verses of scriptures, we know that Joshua had been leader of that Israelite nation for about 20, 25 years and crossed the Jordan into the promised land. They fought a lot of battles. They won a lot of battles, a lot of victory. And after Joshua was coming to his last message and his last sermon, talking to the people as he gathered the people around to discuss where they are and where God wants them to be. Remember, they had claimed the promised land now. They had inherited their inheritance, won victory so many times. But it takes a little more than that. Now they said, we'll take it easy. We've been fighting for a long time. We're doing a lot of battles. But Joshua, we want to take it easy now. We want to take it easy in Zion. The message for us today, as we follow the Israelite people, is parallel promise to us today. The promise, as they walked on the ground, was their inheritance. Today we walk by faith and stand on the word of the promises of God. As we journey into our freedom, by moving towards maximum ministry in your life, we have come a long ways. Each individual today, our church has come a long way. I know that we have just got a plaque from the Southern Baptist. We was number 14 from the state of Georgia in churches our size and baptisms. But we in another year. We have on Wednesday nights, churches our size is very, very outstanding on Wednesday night. We usually always have over 100 on Wednesday night. That is a very outstanding number. Our Sunday school. We maybe come to a time we have a beautiful church. Everybody come see we have a beautiful church and we look what God's done. Beautiful building. But sometime whenever we reach our goal, we want to back off and we want to take it easy. And myself, I'm guilty of this because this message is just for me. But I would like for you to overhear what God's talked to me about because this message is just for me. Sometimes I want to take it easy. Sometimes I want someone else to pastor the church. Sometimes I want to get on my car and I want to go to the mountains. And I want to spend more time doing my recreation items. And I want to spend more time with my family. And I'd just rather someone else to do it. I've done a lot smart for the Lord, and he's been good to me, but it's about time, I think, for someone else to do it. I find myself talking this way many times. And I think we go that way as individuals. I mean, you've reached your goal. I mean, a lot of us today, a lot of us have battled. Now we have our family, and our family are saved, and we're doing pretty good. And we want to take it easy in Zion. We want to, once in a while on Wednesday night, we just want to sit around our house and go do some things we want to do and making excuses for not coming. And travel off and just go anytime we want to. When we off, we want to go on a Sunday and miss church when we could go on a Monday just as well. I believe that's guilty of a lot of us because we've done a lot of fighting for the Lord. And now it's time for someone else to do it. Let's take it easy for a while. Well, I'm telling you, that's what I've been saying. Somebody else do this job. I'm tired of working 7 days a week. I want someone else to do it. God, I've been at this job now for 20-something years. Now, I want to go on vacation. I want to take off some time like a lot of people do. That's what the people in Joshua's day was telling him. Now, we've done it. In Pheasant Hill, we've done it. We come from an old church to a new church, and it's a very, very beautiful church that God has given us. And you've done a lot of work, and you've done a lot of battles. But Joshua says, it ain't over yet. You keep your mouth shut, IB, and do what God's called you to do. It says in John 10 and 10, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just for a while and then quit. See, we have a tendency whenever we reach a goal in our life to back off and not serve the Lord, not visit. We don't have the greatest visitation program at this church as any church around. When's the last time that you knocked on someone's door that was sick and hadn't been here for a month? And that, when's the last time you knocked on that person's door or called that number? When's the last time that you laid on your bed at night and you cried because someone was lost? We have not arrived where God wants us to arrive at. But the nation of Israel, they had come now in their life. They fought a lot of battles, and they thought they were taking it easy like some of us in our personal life, in our church life, and even this church as a whole. But Joshua has something to say to that nation. His last sermon, very sad, if you look at the nation of Israel, because they said they would do all these things, but they didn't do them. In Joshua 24 and 13, we'll read down to 21, very familiar verse of scripture to a lot of us. Joshua says, and I have given you, talking about the Lord, given you land for which you did not labor, cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyard and olive yard which you planted not, do you eat? Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of Amorite in whose land ye dwell. But for me and my house we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in the way in wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelled in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. God will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. For if you forsake the Lord and serve strange God, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much, O God, for the mirror of God's word. God, how you lead us and guide us and pick us up each day, Father. Lord, I pray this day that maybe there's someone sitting here today, and they maybe have never accepted Jesus Christ, and they need you, Father, so much as our Lord and Savior in their life. And the commitment, God, they need to make today that they will follow you. I hope, God, that you might put on the heart of each one of them during this sermon, oh, how that you have been so good to everybody in this building. And, Father, I hope you let them look at their life and see how shabby a service they really do serve you. Not the whole heart, but just once in a while, God. Look, you said, into our hearts, and look where you have brought us from. And yet we want to quit. We want to take it easy. Lord, we are lazy people. Father, forgive our sins of laziness. Forgive our sin, Lord, that we don't want to go on. And we're content in being satisfied. And there's so much land to possess. There's so many people that need to be saved. There's so many more battles that need to be won. Father, help us, give us the strength, the sight, the vision that we need here at this church. Father, our family needs, our leaders' needs, each individual needs, oh Father, to go on in that maximum maturity, Lord, that you have called us into. Lord, that we may have the journey into freedom this day. I pray today, oh God, this will be a great day in the Lord. We thank you for this honor and this privilege that we have today and the responsibility for the next few minutes. Father, this is your service, and we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Becoming all that God wants you to be. That's what God's called you to be. All He wants you to be, what He's doing through you. Oh, it's not just good enough to be saved. That's the beginning, that's not the end. He wants us to keep going. The nation of Israel come to a place of comfort. They come to a place there of satisfaction. And they was tired of fighting. As I said, sometimes I get tired of fighting. This is a war, it's a battle. The only way you build is by battling. As you build your life, it's a battle with Satan himself. As you build a church, it's a battle and a struggle every day as we build the church for Jesus Christ. But now they were so comforted. They had got their homes. They had bought these battles, and they want to take it easy. They was tired of fighting. Now they want to back off and have their enjoyment in Zion. Well, Pleasant Hill, we just need to keep going. I know that we're satisfied with where we are, but we're not where God wants us to be. We need to keep going. Joshua said there's much land to be possessed. Now, Joshua, he had a higher calling. He was not satisfied like the rest of the nation of Israel was satisfied. Caleb was not satisfied. He was an old man by this time. But he says, give me this mountain. I don't want the valleys. I want this mountain where the giant says, I want to still do some battle when he was an old man. It's not time to quit when we retire. That's the time when we ought to be full service for Jesus Christ. There ought not be a service that we miss or a person we don't see. We have a lot of retired people here. We ought to have time to do what God has called us to do now more than any other time in our life, talking to me. Joshua says, listen, I got a higher calling, a higher ground. There's a song that we sing so many times. I'm pressing on the upward way. New height I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. My feet are planted on higher ground. That's what Joshua had to say to the nation of Israel that time for us to go on. Paul says, let us press towards the mark for the prize of a high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Here today I want to tell us that we need to go on. We have just touched the surface, and we need to go on as an individual. Joshua challenged us with the opportunities, with a higher calling. He's challenging us today as a church. He's challenging you today as an individual now for you to go on now, to make a decision for Jesus Christ that you just quit half-serving the Lord. Just once in a while, maybe just once in a while coming, that you need to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. And He gave us some challenging there. Look at the souls that have been saved, God says. But yet we need more here at Pleasant Hill. How God has blessed us. He's blessed us with outstanding blessing here at this church. Yes, so we're tired, and yes, we get satisfied where we're at. And you get satisfied in your life that you have arrived where God wants you to be at in your life. But there's much ground that yet need to be took for Lord, not just in your life, but in our community. I want you to go on, He says. And He gives us three basic reasons why the nation of Israel should go on. And these same basic reasons works for us today, and they'll always work for today. Because if we look back at a demonstration of God's care, how He's took care of us as a church, how He's took care of us as a family, how He's took care of us as individuals. And not only that, look how He's took care of us as a nation in this country we live in today. This is a message also for our nation today. And the demonstration of what God's done in your life, how He's took care of you and took care of this church and your family life today. We should move on that basis of demonstration of His care for us today. And then He gives us this prosperity and this protection and this provision that God has given this nation Israel. He's given the same thing for you and I today and the families today. This demonstrative is here. That's one reason we should move on. In verse 13, as I done read, He said, and I give you land which you did not labor for, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell therein, and vineyards and olive yards which you planted not. That's what you eat of. I've give you all these things. God's give us a great life, people. God's give us a great church. He's give us great things in our family. We sing this song, Lord, have a blessings on me. I have a roof over my head. I got shoes on my feet. I got clothes on my back. I got food on my table. But that's not enough for us to go on. There's other people that don't have it right as good as we do.
And we need to reach other people for Jesus Christ. Go on the basis because what God has loved you, and you are very special people to God. God had it, the nation of Israel was the apple of his eye. But you see, now we are in the church age, and we are God's apple of the eye. We are his church. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are very special. And we look at the demonstration of God's love, how he loved us while we was yet sinner. Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. You are to go on because of the past care that I had for you as you look and demonstrate what I've done on Calvary's cross for you. And every one of us in this building today are to look back what God has given us. Now God has been with us when yet we was dead in sin and trespassing sin, and yet he saved us, brought us out of that miry murder, and set us up on the top of the hill, and he blessed us. He said, you know what, you're special. And I'm going to tell you what, God has a great affection for every one of us today. We're the heart of God today, his bride. He says, now based on the promises that I've given you, but look here, it says there that the prosperity that I give you, the protection I've given you, and provision I've given you, the prosperity that he has given us. He said, I've given you land which you had not labored for. Land represents prosperity. He's given the nation of Israel land, land that was not theirs. I believe the United States was given a country. It's called the United States. And we entered into this land. I believe God just give us this land because we come seeking God. No matter what the textbook says today, I'm going to tell you this country was founded on God. And we got away from God. We turn our back on God. And that's what's wrong with our country today. That's what's wrong with our church today. And that's what's wrong with your families today. That's what's wrong with individuals today. We turn our back on God. Look what God has given us today. God has given us so many blessings, but yet we're satisfied. If we do God a great favor, we'll come once in a while on Sunday morning and we'll praise God. That's turning your back on God. That's not serving God's sincerity and truth. I'm telling you, we need to serve him in sincerity and truth. All the great blessing he has given us today in our church and our person, how God has prospered us as a family. Any reason why that we should not serve the God? Do you have any reason today why that you should not serve God in sincerity and truth today and go on what God has called you to be as a Christian, as a child of God, and not stop where you're at today? It's not just a one-time day, a one-time deal to serve God, a 30 minutes or an hour on Sunday morning, and the rest of the world is yours. It's God says, serve me all day, serve me every day. Oh, how, why should we not come and serve the Lord? Look into your life, what God has given you. You think you've made it like you've made it because of who you are? I'm telling you what, God can do this right here, and you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. You think it's your great mind and your mentality that God has given you, your business that you've got now. You think that you have done it because you're a hard worker and you're smart, you and more intelligent than other people. It's because of God give it to you. He can do this right here, and you wouldn't have a business in the morning. Everything that we have today, we have because what God has given us in our country. But I'm going to tell you, we have forgot about God. We don't serve God in sincerity and truth anymore. We are satisfied where we're at today. We just trinkle a little bit of religion around on Sunday morning, and we think our life is all right with God. That's not what God and Joshua was talking about now, going on into journeying into your freedom today. It's about time that some people made a decision if they're going to serve God. It's more than just coming to a worship serving once in a while, serving God. And Ephesians 4:19 also says what he has done for us. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He has furnished me everything that I need in my life. Do you have a need that God has not furnished you today? And yet we will not serve God. They would have every need they had, and yet they would not serve God. They said they would serve God. They come down and was a member of the church, but they will not come like they're supposed to come. I tell you today, God has blessed us. There was not too many years ago in this country that you and I live in, people just want to have one little small house to live in. If they could just have one house to live in, and a lot of people today has got two and three and four houses a day. It was a time, I know, in this country, not only that, it was just a house, but not only that, if they could have one old shell of a car, they might be able to go back into in town with. If they just had one little car, one little truck, they might get back to the town with. But now it's not one car. It's not two cars. Sometimes it's three and four cars. Sometimes there are more cars in the family than people can even drive them. Has God been good to us? Oh, many years ago, I remember when they watched no television through this part of the country. Oh, sometimes if people just get one television set. Oh, that matter if it had old rabbit ears and had a lot of snow on it, but they just gather around and watch that one television. How many televisions do you have in your homes now? How many you have? Not one television, but many television, one in each room. And the same thing with telephones today. clothes, man, if they just had enough of clothes. A lot of kids had to wash their clothes when they come in from school to be able to wear them the next day. Now we got closets full of clothes. Ladies, about your shoes. If you just had one pair of shoes to put on your feet to go to school, but now there's shoes. How can we sit by and be lazy at Zion now, what God has given us? How come we don't want to go on? Look what God has given us. Look at the prosperity that God has given us individual, and look what God has done for our church here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Is there any reason why that we shouldn't be here every time the doors is open to go out and serve God in this community? I'm going to tell you what, on the basis there that He has prospered us, but not only that, on the basis He has protected us. Same thing He did the nation of Israel. He said, I gave you cities which you did not build. Now, cities at that time, they had walls. Walls were a symbol of protection. United States, I'm going to tell you what, God has built a hedge around this country for over 200 years. You know why that we hadn't done fault on our soil? You know why countries had not come over here and bombed our country? Because God set a hedge around our country. Why? Because we serve God. You think it's our military might because we have not been bombed by a nuclear bomb? You think it's our military power? You think we're number one in the world because of that? We're number one because this was a Christian-found nation and God put a hedge around this country. But I want to tell you something else. This same nation of Israel that God protected, this same one that God protected, same one protects us, and you realize how He protects in so many ways. He protects a hedge around our homes. He protects us with a hedge around our church, keep false doctrine from coming in. He put a hedge around your family to secure you and around every individual this day. But you see, there's a lot of false doctrine. Satan comes in all the ways. The nation of Israel, He protected them. He put a hedge around them. They went into this promised land. Joshua was at the end of his leadership. Then we find out when Joshua died, they went into the ages of what we call the judge stage. Then they started doing everything that they said they would not do. They began to worship other gods, forget about their God. And then they'd have the battle, and they would lose, and they'd cry out to God. And God would come in there, and He'd take care of them. And you know what? Over and over again, all the way through the book of Judges, what happens? They'd cry out to God. God would move in and take care of them, and then they would go right back into idolatry again. Look at the same thing that's done for a lot of us sitting out here right now, how God has protected us, and yet we will not serve Him. Well, listen to what the nation of Israel said many years later there in Psalms. In Psalms 80 and 12, and on down, I want to read. Why has thou then broke down her hedge, so that they which pass by may pluck her up? God broke down the hedge around the nation of Israel. The boar out of the woods do waste it, and the wild beasts of the field do devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, is the nation of Israel, and this vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch thou hast made strong by thyself. God took the hedge down around Israel, and what happened? They was marched away into captivity. Their land was destroyed. We know that had the Babylonian Empire come in. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, at that time of Daniel, Assyrian took the other part of the nation. We know that happened. United States today, you know why we're falling apart? You know what's wrong with our country now? You know why we're having such problems we have in this day? Because God has took the hedge down around America. And all the wild boars of the country, you know what a wild hog will do to your garden? You know what a hog will do to your garden? He'll just root in and just destroy it by the roots. What's happening to America today? It's been destroyed by the roots. It's not the top of it been grazed off by cows, but it had wild boars. It's destroying the root, the foundation of our nation this day. Why? God's took the hedge down. Why? Because we've done the same thing the nation of Israel done. They have forgot about God. We have forgot about God. We don't even serve God in sincerity and truth as we should. Many, many times later, we said, you know, that they said that we will serve the God, but they stopped serving God. As many people today, they made a commitment. They made a commitment here before this church that you'll serve the God. You moved your letter, your membership here, you serve God, but where is your service at? Whose God are you serving today? As a nation as a whole, as a church as a whole, look at the prosperity that I've given you, but look at the protection, He said, that I'll also give you, your protection. I've given you cities, He said, you which don't like build. Now look at his great provision that He gave them. He gave them strength and wisdom. He gave them homes. He gave them health. And look at that, what He gave us today. He gave us health and He gave us wealth. He gave us salvation. His Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Pleasant Hill, he says, why don't we go on? We have everything. We have everything that God has given us, the church and the family and the person. All God has called you to do. God's called you to do something. And yet we get so lazy and so tired. Well, we've done this. We've made it this far. He said, you know what we need to do? You were to go on into your journey into freedom because he demonstrates the care that I've already given you. By your prosperity and by the protection, also by the provision that I've given you. But not only that, this is threefold. 14, verse 14, it says now therefore. When you see a therefore in the scriptures, you need to understand what it's there for. And it always hinges back to what's already been said. Therefore, what I've done for you there, what I've done for you, look at therefore then. We see what it's there for, looking back, the threefold demands for our service based on what I had done for you and the commitment I tell you, demand for this commitment. Therefore, this is the reason why we should have the demand for the commitment that God has given us. Therefore, look what I've done for you, and I'm commanding this. 14, it says, command to worship. The commitment, he said, that we must worship. Fear the Lord, reverence. Fear the Lord means reverent God. Worship him in reverence. The great commandment of all, you know, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, excuse me, and with all your strength. Break the lukewarmness of worship in our life. Jesus said one time, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Is that a sign today for us? God says, I will not accept that type of worship. I will not accept that. The most important thing for people to learn is how to worship God. That's very, very important. That's the first thing, to honor him and to worship God. The greatest enemy that we have in Christianity today is half-hearted worship. The greatest enemy we have to this church is people just half-hearted serving Jesus Christ in service. It's lukewarmness today. The worship is a fear Lord. Number one, to fear him. If we fear the Lord more and honor him more, we'll be more committed to what Christ has called us. Commitment demands worship, but also commitment demands work. Work. Serve him. And serve him. Are you serving God? It's more than coming to church once in a while on Sunday. That's not serving God. You got to work, worship before you work. And it says sincerity and truth. Number one thing is to worship. To come to church, that's number one. And then comes service. You'll never be able to work until, first of all, you worship. Because if you don't want to come to church, you're not going to work for the Lord. There'll be no work. Can you see someone now that just comes just once in a while to church, go out there and say, I would like to invite you to church. When they're not going to be there themselves, you're not going to do it. I'm telling you, you're not going to do it. You're not going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ when you won't come yourself. When you don't have the commitment to come yourself, you're not going to work and you're not going to witness. Why? Because you're not going to worship. To start with, it says worship. These people was not willing to worship God. There's a lot of times we're not worshiping God today. And I'm talking about myself. Demand for work. You will not work. You've never been able to work until you're able to worship. John 9 and 4, it says, Jesus says, I must work the work of him that sent me. While it is day, the night is cometh when no man shall work. It's a little time it's going to be over for me, and a little time it's going to be over for you. Worship without work is empty and also vain. If you come and you just worship and you're not working, it's vain. Now, this world wants to be served. Christian people learn that they are to serve other people. People want to be served today. Serve him in sincerity without any other motive. There's no other reason why that I need to serve him except that I need to serve him because I love him and he loves me and I want to please him. Now, most church gets very frustrated at the first of the church year. We're hard to find people that's willing to serve in positions, but not here at this church. I thank you and praise you for that. Wednesday night we have a great amount of teachers. I'm telling you, if you're not bringing your kids on Wednesday night, it's your own fault. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never get a blessing until you come and serve them. We got a great bunch of people on Wednesday night. Sunday school the same way. Vacation Bible school the same way. People come to church regularly. That way you can find a teacher whenever they come regularly. Also, the commitment demand for us to witness. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. Now, those gods that claim that at the time that they worshiped them and claimed that all their attention, the ones that they served, claimed all their attention, they claimed they're serving these other gods. Think about witnessing, I said, Wednesday night, witnessing, we ought to be on visitation. As I said, you know, we have maybe over 100 on Wednesday night. We want to have 200 on Wednesday night. Demand to witness by making Jesus Christ number one in your life, and you will be a witness for him. Get rid of these gods and keep your own God that says that we will serve the Lord God ourselves and witness. Mothers and fathers of the family today, you are a witness to your family. Mothers and fathers today, how that you show up at church, you are a witness to your own family. It's your own home, much less your visitors and your neighbors around here. We must understand that you are a good witness or you are a bad witness. If you're not showing up, you are a bad witness to your own family. That hurts, don't it? But I'm telling you, I must tell you the truth. You need to be here. You need to have this commitment because of what God has done for you. But as we move on to make a decision now for certainty, this decision that you need to make, and you need to make it for certainty, and you need to make it today. Decision of certainty, it says, verse 15. And if it be evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to get a chance to do that today, every one of us. Whether it be the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites, whose land you dwell, but it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we have three choices in that verse of scriptures. Three choices. What you going to do? You get to a place in our life that we're comfortable, we're just satisfied, and we're just ready to stay right where we are, to church as an individual. Joshua, you know what? He's talking now to the cream of the crop. I mean, he's talking to the people who was on fire for the Lord. He's talking to people that was there. That's what I'm talking to the church today. Not the lost people, but the cream of the crop today. Not talking to the ones that's lost, just like today. Not talking to the ones that are lost. If you're lost, you can be saved. But you see, the ones there are always committed to the Lord. The ones that's, I'm not talking to the ones that's lukewarm. He's not even talking to the backslider. He was talking to the ones who was hot for the Lord, was already doing what they were supposed to be doing. You have done well, but she says, you got some more land to possess. Pleasant Hill, God has challenged you to a new commitment in your life. This is a challenge for us, a new commitment in our life, to serve with urgency of the last days. His time is short. The three decisions, we have three decisions. Now, it says here, you can serve the gods of tradition, as a many people does. It says there, serve the gods which your father served. That's tradition. That's rituals that their father served. There's a lot of things that we do by rituals and by traditional things. Now, some traditional things are good. Some traditional things are bad. As I said, you make a tradition that you're going to go to church. You're going to go to church, and every time the door is open, I make a decision I'm going to church. Youngins, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to dialogue about it. We're not going to say, Daddy, are we going to go to church Sunday? Are we going to go to church Wednesday? Are we going to go to Sunday school? There will be no dialoguing about it. You expect to be there. I'm coming. I want you to know, and you grow up your life. You may not turn out the best in the world, but I'm going to tell you what, you're going to know right from wrong, and you're going to know where you ought to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and every other time that there's something to do at the church, you need to be there. You can choose that tradition to be bad or be good. Or I said, well, you know, we'll go once in a while. At least we come to church once in a while. That's bad tradition. That's bad ritual. I'm going to tell you, God expects us to come when we can feel like it. Come to church. That time when you come to church, it'll make you want to witness more than you ever witnessed before. Because you ever seen any miracles in your life lately, I'm going to tell you, God's still working miracles. Well, you can choose now. You can choose to serve the gods by this traditional, or he says you can serve the gods of this world. Now, the gods of this world, gods of the Amorites, the land where they live there. Now, they had those gods in the land which you dwell. They was pagan gods. Now, you can serve by tradition if you want to, or you can serve the gods that lives all around us today. The gods. We get more worldly all the time because we're serving these gods. The wonders of these gods in our life, in our church. Well, the gods of success, that's the gods of this world around us. The gods of sports, there's nothing wrong with success. There's nothing wrong with sports, but I'm going to tell you what, there is a time and there's a place for everything. If God's not number one, he will be not number two. He's got to be first. People can say all they want to about pleasures, about sports, about recreations, about dollars, materialism, the gods of this world. But if Jesus Christ is not first, he won't be second. I'm telling you, you got a battle on your hands. It's one thing, Jesus Christ is first. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with sports, nothing wrong with recreation, nothing wrong with money, materialism, and all these things. But I'm going to tell you, when they have a ball game or church, which one comes first? You choose, God said. You got some recreation, which one comes first? You choose. You choose the gods of this world, or you choose to serve Jesus Christ. You choose. And we wonder why our country's in a mess like it is. You say, well, that's my schedule. I want to do what I want to do. That's right. You got a choice. It's your schedule. You choose what you want to do. Or it's his third God, he says. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There's three choices. Traditional, God's around you, or Jesus Christ. And it says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a personal choice. A choice of these three gods. A very personal choice. It says, you choose. Joshua said, you choose. You're going to choose. You're choosing every day. I'm just bringing it to your attention today. You choose every day of whose God you're going to serve. It says, you choose. Personal decision. And no one can choose this for you. You say, well, my husband won't come. Well, come without it, old rascal, if he wants to lay in bed. Well, my wife, she won't come. Well, leave her at the house if she won't come. Come on without her. Don't use no excuses. I'm going to tell you what, you have a choice, but you don't have no excuse. You need to come. And it's just like I said, more than just once in a while on Sunday morning. It's a very personal decision. It's a positive decision. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Not no but, ifs, and. It is said as we sing that song, I decide to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You need to make that decision. It's your choice. You don't have to stand before Jesus Christ because of your wife, and your wife won't have to stand before Jesus Christ because of you. You've got to stand before Jesus Christ for your own self. And you bring your family up, and you raise them like they ought to be, and you give them good tradition, you bring them to the house of God, and that young boy and young girl, whenever they grow up, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ, their own self. You've done the best you could for them. You give them the right choice. It's up to them to make it. It's a personal choice. And then he says, you know, there's a public decision. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Everybody knows where you stand. Let everybody know. You know, everybody knows where you stand right here at Pleasant Hill. They know where you stand at. They know whose side you on. They know just exactly how much you care about Jesus Christ. Because, you see, it is a public decision. They know how much you care. It shows on your service. A prompt decision. Today, I'm bringing you to a prompt decision. Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You got to choose. You will not go out of this building neutral. You will make a choice. These scriptures will not come back void. It will accomplish what God sent it out to do. You got a personal choice. I'm telling you, it's a positive choice. It's a public choice. And I'm going to tell you, it's a prompt choice. It's today now. You'll say no to Jesus Christ or you'll say yes to Jesus Christ. But it is your choice. And God's going to hold you responsible. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The urgency about it today. Today. Never wait till tomorrow because it's today. Today, you know what? Some people will be doing business with God right now. We're going to give the invitation right now. Some people need to be on their face before God. Some people need to be praying for their family because of how they've raised their family and how they're raising their family. And they're not doing what they should do towards their family, that their family might grow up and be strong in the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, God has set churches aside that we might be here at the church and do what God has called us to do at a church. God bless this church. And he has blessed this church. But I'm going to tell you on the first stanza of this song we fix and sing, I'm going to tell you, you ought not to wait until nobody else comes. I'm going to tell you what, you ought to come just like you are. Say, God, I've made a mistake, and we all made mistakes. And I told you at the beginning of this sermon was for me. And all the thing you heard, I wish you had heard it the first time when God preached it to me. And all you heard was just a spillover of what God told me. quit being tired and lazy and complaining and go on what God has called you to do. It's not over with yet. You still got breath to breathe. You still be able to walk. You got strength in your body. Go on. Go on into freedom what God has called us to be. Boy, we got a lot of work to do here at Pleasant Hill. God's given us a lot of work to do, and you need to go on. As that first standard, I'd like for you to stand and get it right with the Lord. Come and pray for your family members and your loved ones and friends and nobody else. As we stand, please. On the basics that God is so good, on the basics of what I've done for you, how can anybody turn their back and walk out on God? God has been so good to you. Why don't you come? Why don't you do what God has called you to do? Talk to your heart this hour. You got a choice to make, and it's this day. You choose what God you're going to serve. But don't you look what God's done for you. How could you do any less for Him? Isn't it time for some of you to get hot for the Lord and make a decision for Jesus Christ? To start with, remember, you can't serve Him until you worship Him sincerely and truth and honor and reverence God Himself. Then you begin to work. You're not going to work until you start serving Jesus Christ and working for Jesus Christ and honoring Jesus Christ, and then we might be able to do His service. Worship. Look at them children today. Look how many kids God has given you, the health that they have this hour. Look at the kids in the nursery, out there at the children's church, on Wednesday night. More kids we have adults. Look what God has given us here at this church. How God's blessed them, how healthy they are. Mothers and fathers, isn't it time that you decide to serve Jesus Christ and worship Him?